Good morning and welcome to this meeting of the Government Services Committee, considering the estimates of the Department of Finance, the Public Service Commission, and the Consolidated Fund Services. My name is Evan Beasley. I'll be serving as clerk of this committee this morning. And our first order of business is the election of the chair. So are there any nominations from the floor? The nomination for MHA Stoyles to serve as chair. Are there any further nominations from the floor? Are there any further nominations from the floor? The motion is that the member for Mount Pearl North be elected chair. All those in favor?
Nay.
All those against? Okay, the motion is carried.
Thank you. And of course, we're starting this morning and typical 10 minutes point, we will decide on a break. We ask everybody to wave their hand when they speak and identify yourself every time that you get to speak. Say your name and the position each time. Of course, the water coolers are behind us, and we ask you not to adjust your chair. And now we're going to start with introducing everybody, and I will start with the opposition leader.
Tony Wakeham, MHA Steveville, Port au Port.
Denise Tubbert, Chief of Staff for the Official Opposition.
Colby Greeley, Researcher, Official Opposition.
Jordan Brown, MHA Labrador West.
Stephen Kent, Research Assistant, Third Party Caucus.
Bernie Davis, MHA for Virginia Waters, Pleasantville.
Paul Blake, MHA, Bjorn Grand Bank.
Elvis Lovelace, Fortune Bank, Cape Mahon.
Dave Hamlin, Government Member's Office.
John's West.
I have to say that again.
Did not pick that up. Siobhan Cody, MHA St. John's West. Good morning.
George Joyce, Chair of the Public Service Commission.
Good morning. Tina Follett, Commissioner with the Public Service Commission.
Nicole Abbott, Departmental Controller.
Mike Smythe, Manager of Accountability and Certification with the PSC.
Diana Quinton, Communications, Finance.
All right, thank you, everybody. And now I'm going to move the minutes from the last meeting. And I'm looking for a mover. M.A.J. Brown, Labrador West, moved and second. Minister Davis, second. All in favor? Carried. All right, now I do the submissions. So we have M.A.J. Wakeham, Stephenville, Port au Port, Minister Lovelace, Fortune, Cape Lahoot, Paul Pike, Bjorn Grand Bank, Minister Pike, Minister Davis, Virginia Waters, Presenture, and Jordan Brown, Labrador West. Do we need a motion for those? No. All right, so we're going to start and as 10 minutes, and I ask the clerk to call the first set of headings. Oh, yes, the minister to bring greetings.
Yep.
Sorry.
Great. Thank you, everyone, and good morning, everyone. First, we'd like to recognize to the Leader of the Opposition the victory last night in Fogo, Cape Friels, Mr. McIsaac, and I look forward to welcoming him to the House. So great to have him here as well. Thank you very much, Chair. Wonderful to be here this morning. Through estimates, we're going to do a detailed spending of the Public Service Commission. That's who we have before us today, this morning, first, and then finance and consolidated fund services. And before we do that, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the incredible, hardworking public service who work every day to better Newfoundland and Labrador, to deliver valuable programs and services to the residents of the province. I can tell you, in my experience, I've never worked with such dedicated, hardworking, caring individuals, and I'm proud to be with them every day. And that is especially true of the Public Service Commission, and I'd like to recognize an important milestone of the Public Service Commission. This year marks the 50th anniversary, and it's an opportunity to recognize the contribution made to the protection of merit as well as other human resource management services in our province. So I want to recognize them, because the public service is responsible for the merit-based appointments and promotions within the general public service and agencies, boards and commissions, the employee assistance program, so important to so many, and the respectful workplace program, training and development within the public service through the Center for Learning and Development, strategic recruitment and hiring of all staff for core government departments, safety and wellness, which includes occupational health and safety and wellness workplace initiatives, harassment-free workplace programming, adjudication of management and bargaining unit classification appeals, the Opening Doors Program, which is the employment equity initiative in government that is mandated to provide valuable work experience for those living with disabilities, and the Chair and Chief Executive Officer of the Public Service Commission chairs the Conflict of Interest and Advisory Committee. The Employee and Safety and Wellness Division has placed renewed emphasis on mental health and physical safety by implementing new initiatives in these areas. And as reported last year, the mental wellness first aid kit was implemented for employees on their desktop icon. So very important. And in 23-24, the mental health wellness first aid kit pages were visited approximately 250 to 660 per month. In addition, during March 2024, during Women's Wellness page was launched, the page was visited over 400 times. So you can see how valuable those programs are. And the 2024 graduate recruitment program has commenced under the leadership of the Strategic Staffing Division. I think this is an incredible initiative and is designed as an attraction strategy for graduates to join our workforce in a variety of entry-level leadership positions, and of course through training and mentoring they move on into the public service. The 2022 program resulted in the hire of 25 graduate recruits, and the intent is to hire at least another 20 in the next iteration. To further support attraction and recruitment, the PSC implemented a second stage in a new marketing and rebranding program. Hopefully you've seen that in some of the social media, with the intent to entice more interest in the public service as an employer while focusing on diversity and modernization. And over the past several months, you might have noticed that on even local billboards and on social media. The staffing division has completed over 1,386 competitions for core public sector positions for 23-24. The employee assistance and respectful workplace program continues to offer vital support services to core government departments, agencies, boards, and commissions. Approximately 13,500 employees, plus their immediate family members and retired employees for 1 year post-retirement. So 1,812 files were opened in 23-24. The Center for Learning and Development offers a variety of training options via e-learning, in-class, and virtual methods. The division has seen an increase in overall course completions of approximately 7,000 over the previous year. And in 24-25, English as a second language will be piloted as a demonstration of support to newcomers in our workforce. The CLD primarily relies on the use of public training providers to facilitate the delivery of workplace NL safety courses. However, in September of 22, you'll remember this from last year, an in-house trainer was hired, And since that time, this instructor has delivered 118 classes to 974 participants. And it's estimated that equates to a savings of roughly $181,000 during 23-24. The merit-based recruitment process conducted by the Independent Appointments Commission for Tier 1 and the Public Service Commission for Tier 2 resulted in 101 total appointments to ABCs. And since 2016, over 1,000 appointments have been made. A review of the Independent Appointments Commission Act was conducted by David Conway, affirmed that the process is working well and identified some areas for improvement, and work is already well underway on those. And current appropriations reflect operations needs for the programs and services of the PSC, and you'll see that there are some variances, which is primarily due to the impact of general salary increases across government, just to point that out. And I'll pause there because I'll read the rest when I get to the relevant sections for finance and for consolidated funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cody. And before we start the session, first round is 15 minutes, and every round after that will be 10 minutes. And right now we don't have any independent member present, but if we do have an independent member that will come and show up once we start, I understand the procedure would be that they would get 10 minutes at the end. And do we need a vote for that? Or is just consent of everybody? So do we have consent? All right, so if an independent member comes, at the very end they will get 10 minutes. That's my understanding, is the procedure that has been followed in the past. All right, so the first round, I will ask MHJ Wakeham to start.
Thank you, Chair. First of all,
we need to call the first, that's the clerk to call the first list.
For the Public Service Commission, 1.1.01 to 1.2.05 inclusive.
All right.
Tony Wakeham. I too want to congratulate the Public Service Commission on its 50th anniversary. Back in 1974, when Frank Moore's government started the Public Service Commission, it was a move that certainly professionalized how people were hired within government. And 50 years later, I mean, we've seen it grow and turn into the organization that it was envisioned to be. And so I'm extremely proud to be able to sit here and actually be able to talk about the Public Service Commission and ask questions about the Public Service Commission. So that's one of the things I think that's a legacy that has, we need, and that's I'm glad that, again, you're celebrating your 50th anniversary here. There are some questions, basically, that we continue to ask every year, I guess, which are pretty standard by now. The first one, of course, has to do with the current number of vacancies within the public service. And I was wondering if you could provide an update on that.
Thank you very much for the question, Mr. Wakeham. MHA Wakeham, we're happy to provide that. And I'll turn it to our commissioner, or to our Commissioner Follett.
Tina Follett, Commissioner. Thank you, Mr. Wakeham. In terms of vacancies within the public service, that's a question better afforded to the Treasury Board Secretariat, because they keep the data on vacancies. We, in the Commission, respond to requests to staff the vacancies, so we wouldn't have an accurate or an appropriate number to provide on that.
Perhaps I could ask how many public service were recruited and how many are active. All right, we do have those figures for you. So,
yes, I'll help you out with that one. Tina Follett, Commissioner. Thank you, Minister. In terms of our recruitment activity, we have currently, in terms of new files, 154 active files. And files that are undergoing various stages of recruitment, we have 279 for a total of about 433 active files. And in terms of selection activities and files completed, there were 245.
Just that's under strategic staffing of 1.2.02, just so that we, if you want to ask, you want to keep going in that direction, you might want to ask more questions in that area.
Yeah, so Tony Wakeham, again, I just want to follow up and see then. So what positions are vacant right now in the public service? Who has the record of the positions that are actually vacant? Is it held within the individual departments, or does somebody generally know exactly what positions are vacant within the public service?
George Joyce, Mr. Wakeham, thank you. No, that, as Tina indicated, that information rests directly with the Treasury Board Secretariat. They're, of course, the human resources arm of government, and they deal directly with government departments on vacancies and work with them. We don't see it until the front end when it comes in for a request.
Okay, so I'll ask most of my questions related to that when we get to that section. Okay, that's great. The Minister, you mentioned the actual marketing program. I'm just wondering what the cost of that marketing program is.
Thank you. Again, that would be under strategic staffing, and we've allocated this year additional monies. So there's additional monies within the budget of an additional $100,000 for marketing and recruitment campaign. So that is that is the new campaign that we've launched. You would have seen some testimonials. It's building on last year's campaign. If you remember, we talked about it last year. We're building on that campaign now with more testimonials and different types of advertisement. And I'm going to just turn it to Commissioner Follett, who will probably, if you'd like, we can give you a broader sense of some of the recruitment activities that we're doing, because it's incredibly important. That's why we've allocated additional money this year.
Tina Follett, Commissioner. Thank you, Minister. So in the last year, we spent about $30,000 in terms of investment in the marketing program. That money was utilized to do more upgrades into our online job portal and to change our branding on the site. So if you go into our site, you'll see the new brand that was implemented last year. And it's meant to be more modern, to entice a diverse target audience to employment within the public service. And as the Minister says, we have $100,000 afforded for further investment in the upcoming year. What we've expended to date as well, as the Minister has noted, was also on profiling public service employees, current public service employees, so that we could depict to potential candidates what it's like or what it is to work in the public service. So we selected a number of particularly hard to fill type of occupational categories for which existing public service employees volunteered to provide an account of what it is like for them to work in the public service. So photography was done with those individuals, and their stories were concluded, and they have been placed on our website. It falls under, if you go in on the website, there's a button there that you can go in and check out the respective profiles. And we also ran a campaign a couple of weekends ago whereby those profiles were actually featured on some of the local media through VOCM, CBC, etc. We'll continue to work with the OCIO and our marketing and branding colleagues to further implement more marketing and branding during the course of the year. That will include a presence on LinkedIn. So we're currently scoping out what it would mean for us to have an account on LinkedIn. And again, the focus there, because of the expenditure, would be on more hard-to-fill type of roles. And we'll also release some further profiles. We started off with four, and we'll continue with the remainder of about 16 profiles of public service employees during the course of the year.
Thank you. Allow me to add to that. Thank you, Commissioner. I want to note some statistics here because I thought that they were compelling. From March 4th to the 29th, 367,919 total users were attracted to the Career Center website. So I think our campaign is really working. It's attracting use, and I thought it was interesting that 55% of those users actually use their mobile phone. So we are getting attention through that. But in addition, I want to talk about the incredible work that the public service is doing. They've held 16 career fairs, networking events throughout the year. They've been to Memorial University, College of the North Atlantic, Tech NL, Easter Seals, Murphy Center, international fairs and forums that they do. They do we're doing a high school outreach planning program right now. They do a take your kids to work day to attract people into the public service, profiling public service careers. And they do a lot of work with LinkedIn as well. So I think it's pretty extensive, and they're going to continue to work very, very hard to attract the incredible public service that we have.
Tony Wakeham. So the budget for your marketing program for this year, if I understand it, is $100,000.
Yes, right? That's up from $30,000 last year, and that's just so that that's under 12.02.
Right. Tony Wakeham again. Do you use a marketing firm or agency for that?
Tina Follett, Commissioner. No, Mr. Wakeham, all of that work has been conducted internally with our colleagues in marketing and branding. We did secure a local photographer, for example, for that purpose, but the graphics and all of the related marketing material was prepared through input by the employees from the staffing division and with the guidance of our marketing and branding colleagues.
So, Tony Wakeham again. So tell me exactly what the 100,000, how is that broken down then? What are the expenses of the $100,000?
So I don't have the exact detail of the breakdown, but again, it will be used to cover further marketing activities such as the profiles that we just spoke of. LinkedIn will be included. Other social media activity will also be involved. What's called programmatic marketing will also be factored in there. So that's the continued presence in certain areas such as VOCM, CBC, the Weather Network. So when you go in on social media, if you're looking for employment or if you're in on a paid ad, for example, sometimes it will flag, our ads will come up and it will entice individuals, therefore, to hit our link and go in. So there's a certain expenditure associated with that. A portion of this is also for what we call preview, which is software that we use, that indeed is a company that we engage, and we've gone through the appropriate quote system to secure that particular company. That program is used for assessment and screening for our grad recruit program, and will also be used. We'll be able to use that for some synergies in another program that we're launching internal to the public service in terms of a leadership development program. So that particular piece of software helps us screen, but it also helps us determine the characteristics, nature of our grad recruits so that we can then match them with appropriate mentors within the public service. So that will be utilized for both the grad recruit program and our leadership development program, which is a new program that we're launching this year.
Tony Wakeham. Again, just following up now and trying to connect the significant number that the minister talked about of the people that have gone into the site with the actual recruitment of actual people on the ground working. Have you been able to correlate any of that information as to what, you know, the views, how many positions have that resulted in being filled? Is there any way of correlating any of that activity in terms of what you see at the end of the day?
Thank you very much. Well, I'm just going to give you the stats on the total competitions created. It's a very early in this new recruitment campaign process. So as I said, those results that I gave you were only for the month of March. So it would be very hard to correlate exactly, but the team at Public Service Commission obviously are monitoring the response that we are receiving to these ads. We're investing $100,000 to try and get as much activity as possible, as many, attract and create as much enthusiasm for the public service as we possibly can. Total competitions created over the last year were 1,903 and completed at this point, and I think it was about 1,400 that the commissioner talked about. So you're seeing good recruitment activity. We're seeing, like every industry, I'll call it out there, there's been a significant amount of change. We've had we all knew there were going to be a lot of retirements, so we're trying to ensure that we bring on as many new recruits as we possibly can early in their careers, and that's why we've done this recruitment branding and awareness campaign that I think has been very successful, but we'll be able to match that up as we progress throughout the year.
Tony Wakeham, just wanted to follow up with that too, and talk about the type of positions that you're focused on, because there are areas of or departments, I would think, that have chronic vacancies, and Transportation Works is one that comes to mind. Also, when I think of both on the ground and on the water. And is that a targeted area? How do you target particular areas where we know we have continued to have shortages of staff? And how successful have you been? I mean, this is another tool you're using to do that. And I'm just wondering, is there a focus on those type of positions that are really difficult to recruit?
Tina Follett, Commissioner. Yes, thank you, Mr. Wakeham. So in terms of that, we do a fair bit of analysis around those positions for which we call hard to fill, which is what I think you're referring to. We have particular strategic initiatives that we are working through with a variety of departments. For example, with transportation infrastructure, HET positions, HMEOs are difficult positions to staff for. So we're having ongoing consultation with the ADM in that particular area right now, and discussion with Treasury Board Secretariat around what activities we can take in terms of connecting with local educational institutions to entice graduates to come into that particular area. Social work continues to be another area for which there are challenges. We've participated previously in a particular planning group for that particular occupational category, but stemming from that in the past year, excuse me, we've also taken a different approach with recruitment, in that now we're doing recruitment for social work positions on a zone-by-zone basis instead of individual competitions, because what's happening there is that there's, a fair bit of competition amongst the actual regions themselves. So focusing on the zones allow us to entice potential candidates based on their eagerness to work in a particular area, and we actually have developed a process whereby when someone applies per zone, we will survey them in terms of where their interest is and the location of the work that they're interested in. So we've just started that, but so far it seems to be working quite well. We are focusing our outreach activities on hard-to-fill roles also. For example, the work that we're doing with NL schools and the school system, we are actually going in now. We're developing curriculum with NL schools to basically piggyback on their career development curriculum that they have in grades 10 to 12. So when we get in there, we're obviously going to highlight those positions for which we feel will continue to be a bit of a struggle for us, but we want to entice high school students to have an interest not only in the work in the public service but in those particular areas as well, so that when they move out into post-secondary or trades education, they have a good foundation on what it is to work in the public service and in those particular roles. And as the Minister has alluded, we've been participating in a number of job fairs over the course of the year, and we also highlight those hard-to-fill positions in those forums as well. And we also maintain a very good relationship with our post-secondary educational facilities in terms of work-term placements, again focused on hard-to-fill roles.
Thank you, and thank you, Major Wakeham. Now we go to the 10-minute sessions, and MHJ Brown.
Thank you. I guess carrying on the trend of hard-to-fill roles, when you talk about hard-to-fill role, what's the timeline from advertising of the role to hiring? When do you declare something a hard-to-fill role?
Tina Follett, Commissioner. Thank you for the question, Mr. Brown. So that's normally an historical analysis that we conduct. So we will look back at the number of times we've conducted a competition in a particular occupational category, and whether or not we've had success, obviously, in staffing the position. Normally, we'll look back probably 4 to 6 months. If there's challenges there, then obviously that's an area that we need to afford some further attention. Currently, if I might just add, currently in terms of our ability to staff, the time to fill, with hard-to-fill positions, obviously, as an outlier, we've reduced our time to staff positions down from a little over 5 months last year to currently a little over 3 months.
Okay, so the 3 months would be the average from advertising to hiring, and that's not, that's like all roles, I guess, is it?
Sorry, Tina Follett, Commissioner. There's obviously going to be some outliers there, and that's normally where the hard-to-fill positions will land.
Yeah. All right, perfect. Onboarding, employment onboarding, usually what's the timeline of onboarding an employee into the public service?
Tina Follett, Commissioner. With respect to onboarding, we have a particular program through our CLD, which touches on a variety of aspects of employment within the public service, particularly areas that are considered mandatory, like ATIP, occupational health and safety, things of that nature. The actual timing on onboarding, while we obviously remind hiring departments of the need for the onboarding, that is a responsibility that rests with the hiring manager in the respective departments.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Another question there, I guess, on that is, can we get a list of what you guys have determined as hard-to-fill positions in the public service? Can we get a copy of a list of, or like, of those positions, so we understand?
Do you have it?
I don't have them all here right now. Tina Follett, Commissioner. Sorry. This is very awkward. yes, absolutely. I don't have them here on hand. I can give you a flavor. Like, there's a number of administrative roles in the clerical series. Some of the ones that I just referenced in response to Mr. Wakeham, the social work area, but there's some in finance as well. But yes, we can certainly get you a list.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much. Currently, I guess, how many courses are provided by employees in-house opposed to programming provided through outside or third-party contractors through last year? And is there an increased amount of being done in-house versus third-party contractors for courses provided through the public service?
Thanks for the question. Learning and development, we have about 33 outside vendors that provide services to different degrees for different types of training, everything from mandatory training to occupational health and safety, and that costs about $400,000 a year, which is about 50% of all training.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. All right, perfect. And that would be my final question for this section. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, M.J. Brown. M.J. Wakem.
Tony Wakem, just to follow up on your comments that when you were talking about the teacher portion and the school, are you now responsible for the recruitment of teachers in the province?
Tina Follis, Commissioner. As of January 1, the NL schools, and associated employees integrated, as you may be aware, with the public service. We have an arrangement with NL schools whereby they have a delegated authority agreement, which is a mechanism that we use with a number of other agencies as well, whereby we provide the guidance around how staffing should be conducted, and we follow up with audit to ensure that those standards are being complied with.
Tony Wakem, so they still do their own independent advertising and independent hiring. Is that correct?
Tina Follett, Commissioner. Yes, they continue to do the operational aspect of the staffing. They use their current platform for the advertisement, and but we have trained a number of their HR professionals in our processes and have trained them as selection board chairs. So they are subject, again, to the standards that we set forth for hiring within the public service and based on merit principles.
One last question. Is that going to be the same process that will be followed now for the Newfoundland and Labrador Housing Corporation, which has now been brought in under?
Thank you for the question. At this point, we haven't progressed far enough in that. As the Minister of Housing has indicated, that'll take over the next 6 months. There will be a lot of discussion as to how this will all unfold.
I guess, Tony Wakem again, then is it the intent, is what I would ask.
George Joyce, we will follow, the Public Service Commission will follow the same template as we followed with Newfoundland Labrador Schools. There will be meetings set up. We'll look at all the programs and services that Housing Corporation provides when it's integrated. We'll look at, for example, all the programs and services that government provide. We will sit down and find the intersection with the Public Service Commission with all those services, and we'll put a plan in place, a staggered plan, based on technology, based on health and safety, based on employee assistance, based on all those areas, competencies, and we'll develop a plan with an ultimate goal of aligning all services with that. Competency services, corporate services. And that's what we're doing with Newfoundland schools right now over a 3 or 4 year period in different areas.
Okay, thank you. I'm done.
No further questions. M.H.J. Brown, do you have any further questions? No questions? All right. I ask the clerk to call the subtitles, seeing there's no further questions.
For the Public Service Commission, 1.1.01 to 1.2.05 inclusive.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.2.05 carry? Question? All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Carries. I ask the clerk to call the next set of subheads.
The total?
Yes.
The total.
Total carried. So we move to the next set of subheads.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Now we move to the next set of.
Now we need to change up.
Yeah. We change out.
Call a recess.
Take a recess for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just a couple of minutes. Yeah. Change out departments.
Thank you.
Yes.
I want to thank the incredible work of the Public Service Commission and recognize all their efforts and appreciate the work that they do every day to make sure that we have the incredible team that we have in government. So thank you for all your efforts and thank you for being here today.